Welcome back to Turning Hard Times into Good Times. I am your host, Jay Taylor, and I'm really pleased to have with me once again my geologist friend and CEO of Tri-Metals Mining Company, Tri-Metals Mining Inc., actually, Ralph Fitch. Thanks for joining me again, Ralph.
No, it's a pleasure, and thanks for having me on.
I'm just really good to have you with us. I should let our folks know that you have been an exploration geologist with a lot of very major companies in the past, companies like Chevron Minerals, for example. That's one I know of, anyway, and you've been very, very successful, actually, in finding and being a part of major discoveries, and now you're on to another one, it would seem, and that's what we want to talk to you today about, your Cold Springs project that is in, it straddles, actually, Nevada and Utah. For the sake of those listeners that may not be familiar, may not have heard you when you were on with us before, just give us a little summary of that project and the economics that were that were assessed so far.
Yeah, no, it'd be a pleasure. So, first of all, Tri-Metals is based in Canada. It's a Canadian company, so its stock symbol up in Canada is TMI, and down here in the US it's TMIAF. And what we're doing is we're in the sort of discovery business, Jay. So we're looking for gold, silver, trying to develop a big resource. And the project that we think is going to be the home run for us is called Gold Springs. And it's, as you say, it's on the Nevada-Utah border, west of Cedar City. It's about an hour and a half's drive west of Cedar City, 3 hours north of Vegas. So it's a pretty nice location to visit. And what we found is a very large area with outcropping gold mineralization, and we've now drilled 239 holes into it. And we've developed a reasonable size resource of about 750,000 ounces of gold, but we think that the property as a whole, because of the sort of type of geology we see there, is probably good for 3 to 5 million ounces. So we're explorers, so we have to sort of use our imagination, and that's sort of where we think we're going. And in this process of drilling, and incidentally, we just started drilling again, so we're following up on some really good results we had last year, which is, so it's a very exciting time for the company. But in the process of drilling, of course, one of the things you have to do is show to yourself and to your investors that what you're drilling has some real value. And part of that process is doing a series of engineering studies. And the first one is called a PEA, or a preliminary economic assessment. And we did this really at an early stage in the project. It's more of a demonstration that what we're drilling is good. It's not the project that we hope finally to build. We hope the project we build would be much, much bigger than our demonstration PEA. But the small-scale PEA, which was mining about 50,000 ounces of gold a year, had some really good economics. And so pre-tax NPV, $137 million, $92 million after tax, rate of return around 50% before tax, 36% after tax. This was done at $1,300 gold, so not too far from where we are now. And in that study, we also showed that the project was quite robust at much lower prices. In fact, it still made some money at $1,000 gold. So we think through this little demonstration PEA that we can say that the material that we're drilling is very worthwhile, and every year we've increased the resource. And actually, Jay, there's the point I think maybe really sort of gets the point home, is that we've done sort of resource drilling or detailed drilling in four different areas on the property so far. And in each of those areas, we've ended up with a 43-101 resource. So pretty much everywhere we're drilling, we are finding useful gold mineralization. And we've only drilled about, I would say, 10% of the total targets that we've defined with geology, geophysics, and things of this sort.
Yeah, you've been pretty effective with a technique known as ZTAM. I guess it's allowed you to point your drill in the right places so far. You're really looking at an open pit heap leach scenario here, I believe, right, Ralph? And with low stripping ratios, those are some of the economic factors that might make this work really well, even though it's not the highest grade deposit.
Yes.
In the world.
No, that's true. In Nevada, you quite often hear, of course, there's a lot of gold being found in Nevada, so you often see reports on gold being discovered. In more recent times, when people discover gold, it tends to be sort of fairly deep under the ground, maybe 300-400 feet below the surface, they find some good gold mineralization. What's unusual about Gold Springs and the fact that it's still there and hasn't been mined yet is that it's actually outcropping. It's sticking out of the ground. So as you were saying, Jay, our strip ratio life of mine in the demonstration PEA was only 2-1, which is very low. That's because we're starting literally the first shovel full, as it were, would be ore, and we don't have to remove a lot of overburden.
Yeah, a very important aspect. And you've done some metallurgy on it too, I suppose, Ralph?
Yes, we have. So as part of the PEA, this sort of early stage engineering study, we did a number of metallurgical tests. Some of them are called bottle rolls, where you basically put some material in a very large bottle and sort of shake it around for a few days and see how much of the gold you get out of the rock. You have it in a cyanide solution. And then as you get more advanced, you do columns, and these are to simulate what a heap leach would be like. Mm-hmm. And we've done 6 mini columns and 3 full-size columns. And to date, we have really good results from the metallurgy. And in fact, the more recent metallurgical tests on the full-size columns gave results which suggests maybe our recoveries will be a little bit better than we had in the economic study, where we said we had 73% gold recovery and 40% of the silver. Mm-hmm. The more recent work suggests it might be a little bit better.
I know that I think one of your goals this year with your exploration program was to try to increase the average grade. Not that, as you say, your grade in the PEA was good enough to provide pretty robust economics. But have you had any success, Ralph, in terms of increasing your grades? I think there were certain areas that you were looking at that you thought would really probably help in that regard.
Yes. So I think you put it correctly. So in the economic study, the grades were adequate to give a good economic return, but obviously if you have higher grade, you get a better return. And the material that was not included in the PEA was discovered last year, subsequent to the completion of the PEA, and in an area called South Jumbo at the old historic Etna mine. And for instance, one of the holes there, number 5 of last year, we got 150 meters with a gold equivalent of 1 gram. That's 0.87 grams actual gold and 10 grams of silver. Mm. And, that's starting from the surface or just below the surface. Mm-hmm. So that, if we can find more of that, this year, and that's where we're drilling right now, actually, it could make a substantial difference to the overall average grade and even more positive economics. So
sure.
this is a really exciting time, actually, Jay, because we've just started, we've done all the interpretation over the winter, and now we're just starting again to drill around these really good grade holes that we got towards the end of last year.
Yeah, so you got the boring stuff out of the way, at least as far as the investors are concerned.
Yeah.
And now we're looking for some drill results. When might we see them, Ralph? When might we results back?
I think you'll start to see a pretty steady flow of results starting in about a month. And, you know, we hope to be drilling through the end of the year. So should have a steady stream of results. And as I said, we're certainly it's exploration, so we never know exactly what we're going to find. But we are drilling in the areas that we got some really good results last year. And, you know, that hole I mentioned earlier, number five of last year, actually ended in mineralization. So, you know, not only was it a big intercept of 150 meters, we didn't actually get out of the mineralization. So clearly we're going to be trying to look for the extensions of that this year.
Yeah. The lateral extensions, I suppose. I mean, you're, what depth was that then, Ralph?
That that went down to just under like 650 feet below the surface, that sort of depth.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Open pittable. And,
yeah, no,
if you've got
it's starting at the surface, Jay. So.
Yeah. Excellent. Really good. Well, you know, one of the, just with a minute or so left, well, my engineer says we've got 3 minutes or so. One of the main skepticisms that I've heard voiced from some technical people is that they were concerned about the lack of continuity of mineralization. You know, Ralph, you can have a little gold here, a little gold there, but unless you have it all along trend, it may not be economic. Is there any? Could you perhaps say anything about that? That I don't think it's something that you're terribly concerned about, but
yeah, no, certainly I can try and sort of get the point across. So when rock becomes mineralized, you have this sort of big body of rock which you can define, and we have we haven't found the limits yet, but in the jumbo trend, which is the area we've been discussing, so far we've got this big block of rock which has gold in it. And so from a continuity point of view, we can define that big block of rock with gold in, so it's continuous in that sense. If you look at the very, very fine detail, like is the gold in, you know, if we're talking about along the length of the zone, is the gold in this foot, in the next foot, in the next foot? There may be the odd foot that doesn't have much gold in, and then the next foot might have a bit more. It's not exactly uniform, and one should not expect it to be so. So I think if you think of continuity in terms of mining, you know, a big shovel that's going to take, you know, 5, 10, 20 tons at a time, every one of those shovelfuls in the gold-bearing zone will have gold in.
Yeah.
So it is continuous when you look at that sort of scale.
Of course, after you do a lot of infill drilling and so forth, your confidence level rises and you know
absolutely
much better.
Yes.
And right now, you're just establishing establishing some of the parameters of mineralization, and over time, I guess you'll be doing more of that sort of more detailed work, I suppose. Do you think, yeah, Ralph, that you need sort of 3 to 5 million ounces? Is that your sort of your goal here longer term to attract a major into this project?
Well, I think you know, from what we sort of hear, the sort of scuttlebutt, you know, the majors are starting to look at maybe smaller size projects because the large ones are obviously so difficult to find.
Yeah.
And they need to, you know, maintain their reserve base. But I think at Gold Springs, which, you know, in terms of general geology, it's a bit like Round Mountain in terms of the geology. It's a big collapse caldera and all the sort of cracks around the caldera. These gold-bearing fluids have come up and deposited gold. And, you know, Round Mountain is like 14 million ounces. So the thing is, the geology that we have is sort of permissive for a very large deposit. And we think that would attract majors in that sense. And in terms of what we're trying to do, this year, you know, we want to get over 1 million ounces. We think by the time we get to, say, 2 million ounces, there'll be a lot of people who would be very interested indeed.
Maybe next year, by next year's drill program then, perhaps. And so,
yeah, maybe people start sniffing around now. It's, you know, it really depends. The market varies, as you know, greatly dependent on the gold price. And I guess, you know, we're well up from where we were at the beginning of the year. So if that continues, then, you know, projects like ours will become very popular.
Well, we'll certainly be keeping our eyes on it, that's for sure. It's a story that I cover in my newsletter and one that I own personally. So, Ralph, I want to thank you very much for being with us today and giving us an update. I look forward to talking to you again sometime in the near future.
Thank you, and again, thanks for having me on.